G'day, ballers and ballerettes, and welcome to the Sunday Snap, coming to you through the SC Ballers feed. This is the podcast where we give our snap reactions to the NRL Supercoach round that was. My name's Jono, coach of the Haas Beans, and with me to talk about all the big news coming out of round three is the coach of Tubes' Pods. Tubes, how are you, mate?
Yeah, not too bad. I've had a pretty good weekend. I'm feeling up and about until Garrick went and got 160 just in this last game, but I don't know if I'm hurting more or less than you at the moment.
Yeah, it's been a disaster. Last week you were the man down in the dumps. I was all up and about, and it's a bit of a role reversal this week. Tubes, this weekend's been a bit of a, it's been a disaster for me. Like yesterday, Saturday I had the captaincy on Ponga, who busted out of 45, and I went to bed disappointed. I was like, no, you know what, Sunday's a new day. We'll go good on Sunday. We'll make up some ground. Sunday morning, Tubes, I was going for a run this morning. I literally tripped over my own shoelaces and went down hard and had to walk home dripping in blood, like my hands were dripping. God. And it was at that moment I was like, I don't think today's going to be much better than the rest of the round. Just hasn't been my week.
Oh, just Garrick, the rumours were of him just having a kid as well all week and then comes out and plays. You know what? His fourth try, I was watching it, and you know what he did? He did like the cradle arms afterwards as like his try celebration. It was almost like he was just rubbing it in the faces of those 2,000 super coaches that traded him out, thinking it might be a chance of not playing this week.
I think 2001. Yeah, 2001 if you include me. I was one of them. But well done, Chiefs. Bounce back week for you. Got to be happy with Jaden Campbell after the lows last week of your captaincy. Got to be good to see him bust over for a try and get 100-plus score.
Yeah, and I almost wish that I just doubled down on the captaincy with him just for the glory of it, but I was happy I captained Nico anyway, so they got much of a muchness score. I'm currently 11.52 pre-updates, which I thought was going to be pretty well above par, pre-Garrick, but I suppose what's the average going to be now? Probably closer to 1,100 than not, I guess.
Yeah, I'd say so. It was looking like par might be around 1,000, but after the last couple of games with Garrick being so highly owned, I think 1,100 seems about right, Tubes. So you're still above par though, making back a bit of ground.
Yeah, a little bit of ground last week.
I'm on 1,003 at the moment, so I've just snuck over 1,000 mark, although I might get some downgrades. That'd fit with how the weekend's gone, end up on like 999, just to feel a little bit worse, but that's all right.
But all right, forgetting, like, even without our teams, it was just a carnage of a round, which I'm sure we're basically going to talk about. Like, it was just absolute. Matt was pumping the memes out on social media. But what was it? It's Roger, Connor, Cleary. I'm going to forget. I reckon there's six or seven. Like we're going to talk through them game by game.
Yeah. Absolute shocker. But before we get to our reviews of the weekend, that was just a quick plug for SC Ballers Unlimited League, where there are $5,000 in cash prizes up for grabs. The league code is 730444. That's 730444. And if you want to get a little bit more information about Baller, you can head to baller.promo, that's B-A-L-L-R.promo, and enter your email address if you'd like some updates on what's to come. Tubes, what about the content really picking up? Matt's pumping it out. A couple of your little TikToks, Tubes Talks, got a decent amount of views. It's looking up.
It is pumping. I went to the Storm v Panthers game with some of the actual SC ballers, not just the people like Matt who are just fronting up and sounding clever, the actual clever people that are building the app. And I got some small sneak preview into some of the things that are coming, and yeah, it just looks unbelievable, really. We're using a bit of the live dev on the the live updates, and even that alone is just going to be way better than what's out there at the moment, which is awesome.
Yeah, looking and sounding amazing. Well, Tubes, let's start each week like we always do with our rage trades.
Are you little?
Who is on the chopping block, Tubes, for you this week?
Oh, it's he's not going to be a popular one. He's not a popular one. He was a bit of a pod play, not with a huge upside, but I just thought he was going to be the baseman. I was calling him Baseman Bateman after the first week, and that's Johnny Boy Bateman. I actually kept him this week over Hopgood. No real reason. I was probably just rage trading Hopgood last week, and it was sort of picking much of a muchness, but he's gone 43 in 80 minutes. But I think the biggest thing was I watched that Broncos game so closely on Friday night because I had so many Broncos players, and he just looks like an old slow man now. Not in any way, like he's clearly trying his hardest, he's doing his best, but the play sort of just stops with him. He's not looking like he's any chance of getting a big bust in offload or a tackle break or anything like that. He even had a chance to score a try, but instead of putting the ball down on before the dead ball line, he actually just whacked it back as well. So he's got to go. He's taken up 500K. There's a few nice cheapies in the second row this week, so he'll be a nice downgrade play for me. Don't know if it's a rage trade or just a sensible get the old man that can't do super coach out anymore. And old man, he's a few years younger than me, so it's a bit harsh.
No, I think he makes sense. I like that with your rage trades, you actually do trade them out. Like it's not just a bloke you're angry at. You have followed through with your rage trades now. If you do this one, which I think you will, Johnny Baseman gone, you've followed through 2 weeks in a row. Which is my rage trade candidate. It's the second time I've picked him as a rage trade already this season. It's Luke Metcalf, who got a 23. He had 0 points in conversions, only 2 points from runs. He just seems better suited from a supercoach perspective as a 5'8". Like, I just don't think – he's a natural runner of the ball, and he's just doing a lot of these, going across fields, cutting it back into a back rower, not really taking on the line much himself. Unlike YouTube's, I won't be trading him out this week just because he's still got that 117 in his rolling average. So his break even for next week's only going to be a single-digit number. So I have to hold him again, but – come that round 5 Warriors bye, I cannot wait to click trade on Luke Metcalf. He's like, I'm just excited to do it. I'm already picturing the moment.
Did you play him this week?
Yes, of course.
And so you don't have to play him next week, though. You've got Munster, don't you, as the other 5'8".
I don't have to, but like he got 117 last week. Like he's clearly got the big score in him. So I think if he's in my team, as long as he's there, there's a big chance I'm playing him, which is probably why I just needed to get rid of him. So the temptation's not there. But
it's like last year Dan had Isaac Targo every week. he's got to trade him out and then doesn't and then ends up and playing him even though he didn't have to. I think he's got to go. I was a happy, obviously not happy Metcalf seller last week, and happy to not own him this week. He's sort of come back to what I'm expecting. But as you said, he could be rocks or diamonds for sure, but I think there's more rocks than diamonds coming.
Yeah, particularly while he's wearing the number 7 jersey. I think if he was to move to number 6 and Tamari Martin came back in, I think that he would be a little bit more solid because the base would go back up. But that's enough on Luke Metcalf. Tubes, let's get into our talking points from our first half of the games. You were, like you mentioned, you're out in the game, the big Melbourne versus Panthers grand final rematch on Thursday night. Who stood out to you from a supercoach perspective?
It was hard to go past Pappy, even before all the injuries and he took up the goal kicking. I brought in Munster, and whilst I wasn't unhappy with that and the way that Munster looked, I definitely think that he looks fully fit. But the one thing I sort of gleaned from our view was like everything really seems to go through Pappy. Like he really is going to be that big sweeping play, and sort of just involved in just about everything that they do, whether it's left side or right side. And I really want to get him into my team. And I think, assuming he isn't injured, there was some chat that he could have some ankle things and different things like that. But now that Meany's out for, was it 4 to 6 or something like that, weeks, and Pappy will be goal kicking, he's basically number one trade target, and I think visually backed it up for sure.
Yeah, and their run, they got Dragons, Warriors, Dolphins, Rabbitohs as 4 of their next 5. So it's a really nice run for him to be goal kicking because the Storm could rack up points. So you would identify Tubes as a non-Turbo owner. I know a lot of people traded out Turbo this week as well. You would identify Pappy as a bigger target for you than Turbo?
Yeah, just at the price, because he's about to rise in price. That run that you just mentioned, I think next week is the Dragons, isn't it? So there's every conceivable chance with goal kicking, Pappy could match Turbo next week, even though they're playing Para. And as a non-owner of Turbo and Pappenhausen, Pappenhausen's only 616K. I'm looking at going Iongi out if I'm bringing in a third gun fullback rather than hold Ponga. I think anyone would be crazy to trade Ponga this week just because he's on the bye. And so that's a much easier jump up. It'll be, 360K or something like that from Iongi up to Pappy. So, I think he's a play and could easily outscore Turbo the next six to seven weeks.
Yeah. Which, as you mentioned, Munster, who I agree, he looks fully fit. Like, he looked really good. Three tries, he saw off kicks. He ended up with a 61, and actually he lost 12 points in missed tackles, penalties and errors. So that easily could have been one of those, you know, 61 doesn't sound great. It sounds okay, but that could have been a huge score for Munster. The one who stood out to me watching that game was Eli Katoa, who had a 77 with a try for kick. He looked absolutely phenomenal early. Like, how big and strong and angry did he look? Busting tackles. Every run was with purpose. He actually ended up spending nearly the whole second half at centre after they lost two of their outside backs. But a little bit of chatter about maybe an injury there as well, but doesn't seem like it's anything too serious and looks like he might play through whatever's going on. But, Tubes, of all the kind of premium second row forwards, he's probably the one who's delivered the most consistently so far this season.
Yeah, I think so. And just looks like he's taken up where he left off. Obviously, they've had the bye. It's just 700K is a lot to pay at this time of the year for those sort of back rowers, especially when we're going to be so stacked in the front row with, when we get to him, but Big Payne Haas, Tino, Tyrrell May, etc. That I can't see myself bringing in Ekat at least for a few more weeks. If he is injured, that wouldn't be the worst from my super coach timing perspective, although I hope he isn't injured for his sake.
Yeah, it's one of those well done to the 10% who own him, but it is going to have to be an Eli Kanoa for those who don't, I think, for now. There's just too many other things going on.
Well done, Jono. The feedback seems to be I'm not giving you enough on your puns, so I'll give you a little round of applause for each one, and that was a good one.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Harry Grant is letting his owners down. He had a 26 after a 61 in round one. A lot of those people held on to Harry have now missed that first price rise of all these cheap hooker options. Do you just keep plowing on through with Harry and wait for him to bounce back now, Tubes, or do you still... He hasn't lost price himself yet. You've missed the first price rise from the cheapy hookers. Any temptation to jump on board?
I don't think so. I'm happy to not be in that position. It's a weird one. I didn't notice necessarily anything in particular about Harry that meant that he was going so poorly. But it is a bit concerning to back 26 up with a 61, although I think he's had slow starts in the past. And you mentioned that Melbourne run coming up. There's every chance that he boosts his attacking stats over the next period of time as well.
Yeah, I'm with you. I wouldn't panic. I'd hold on. I'd give it a crack and wait for him to come
concerning.
Good.
Yeah.
One, Tubes, that he's ended up in 11% of teams. He was like a little bit of a popular pod in the preseason with pretty decent ownership, is Jack Howth, who only had 39 points, but I think we've just seen his floor. He ran for the most metres of any Storm player in the game. And again, another one who just every run is with purpose. He looks angry. He looks like he wants to hurt someone with every hit up. I would love to have him in my team at 426K.
Yeah, he's on the radar with their run coming up. I think he's got a few errors in him. I still just don't love getting in a centre that's not a goal-kicking centre. I think from an NRL point of view, he does look like he's going well or gone to upper level with a full preseason at centre. But I don't see him being an elite, you know, high 600s centre wing to finish the season. And I suppose if you're paying that price for him, you probably want to feel like he is.
Hmm. Well, let's move on to the Penrith Panthers then. And obviously, the one of the biggest talking points of the round was Nathan Cleary only getting 2 points before being given a Category 1 concussion, meaning he's now going to miss next week. 10% of Supercoach has had him as captain as well, and have just ended up probably missing his score. Tubes, actually, before we speak more about Cleary, one thing that was confusing a lot of people, because there was those people who had him out there as their captain, and how does that work with your 18th man, your flex dropping out? I thought you summed it up really nicely in one of the group chats that we were in. Do you want to just explain for the listeners how it works when your captain is your lowest scoring player?
Yeah. So no matter what, you get your double points as a captain. So in the Cleary example, he got 2. So you get double the points, which gives you 4 for Cleary. And then effectively, if 4 is your lowest score in your 18 players, then he drops out and you effectively lose your captaincy. If Cleary had, say, gotten 10 and that doubled to 20 and someone else had gotten 15, then that other person would drop out and you would still get Cleary's score of 20. But either way, you don't get any VC loop or anything like that with your lowest score dropping out at captaincy, which it just really makes it so important to get your captaincy decisions right. And I think we saw that this week, even with, say, people had the opportunity to loop Nico, obviously Haas, people looped him, and then Captain Ponga instead. Now, he didn't have a HIA. He just had a poor game in 45, but it certainly brings into question, you know, how important it is to try and you've got the opportunity to get those high VC loops if your person gets over 100, because the downside risk of getting someone that gets 5 or 6 as your captaincy, it feels that much greater this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard though when those people didn't necessarily got it wrong. They just got really unlucky. Like, I know what you mean, though. You probably shouldn't be putting it on him in the first game of the round. But, geez, it's pretty rough. Well, back on to Cleary. And, geez, by the way, perfectly explained. He's now going to miss next week against the Rabbitohs, which would have been a really nice game to have Nathan Cleary for. Do you think he's worth a trade, Tubes, missing 1 week? He has the Cowboys, Dolphins and Roosters as his first 3 when he comes back.
I don't think so. I think he's going to lose 100K now just from getting that score. So you'd be trading him out at 100K less than what you brought him in, and it's only 1 week, assuming that it's just a HIA. I haven't heard anything that it was anything worse than that. I think it was just a Cat 1 HIA. So you're getting him back in when he plays the Cowboys in round 5. So he easily could then go on a run, which gets him back up over 800K and all the reasons we wanted to have. So I'd just sit him out and wait a week, similar to what we talked about with Turbo. Obviously a bit different because Turbo was a hammy injury that makes it a bit more nervous, but certainly this one to me seems clear cut. He's out for a concussion for a week. Everyone should be holding.
Big Bad Brian bounced back this week after a rare, kind of poor NRL game last week. He had 105 points with 2 late tries. Kind of looked back to himself a little bit after his first game back from injury. Ran for 175 metres. I mean, Big Bad Brian's, he's just always going to be one of the best options at centre wingers and he chooses. And we just spoke of that run they got coming up. Rabbitohs, Cowboys, Dolphins, Roosters. Any temptation on Big Bad Brian?
Yeah, I think so. What about you? Keen to see which other 680K wingers you might be potting and look at bringing them in.
Yeah, I can't. I'd probably trade Big Bad Brian out if I wasn't owner like I did with Garrick this week. But, yeah, you'd love to own Big Bad Brian. Again, just that price tag's high, and because this year there were a bunch of guys who were kind of fairly undervalued, I just think he slipped under the radar. He's only in 4% of teams. So I don't think he's going to be one that I'm going to
It's hard to get to with, I mean, there's a few 500K injuries like Roger, et cetera, this week. Or obviously a Dylan Lucas, if people haven't traded him. But it's hard to go up to someone like that, just at that price tag.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about Roger Tubes because we're moving onto that game now. He got a 36, was getting through pretty good base before his hammy went down. He's going to be out at least 2 to 4 weeks, it looks like. He's just a the biggest trade ever with that Warriors buy in round five. It's a matter of who you trade him to, and I'm sure we'll speak about a few options tonight. But who are you looking at, choose? Feel free to jump ahead in the games from the round. Who would be your number one trade target for Roger?
I can't figure it out. I think it'll depend on my other trades. Like if I go a Bateman down to a Nicholson and that frees up a bunch of cash for me I really want to go Iongi to Pappy. And then it'll just depend on what cash I have left to use a boost for Roger. If I use a boost, I could just hold him for a week and then wait and see what opens up next week. I think you'd be looking, though, to be bringing in another gun. And so waiting a week if you're a non-Greg Marju owner, although we'll talk about him and he didn't have a great week, but I think that's an option. Or someone like a Bo Firma, so still looking at someone around that 5 to 600K mark that has upside.
Yeah, the last one you mentioned, Tubes, is number one on my list, and I think I'm a big chance of doing is Bo Firma, who had an 80 with a try, and I don't know if you happen to see this part of the game, it easily could have been two. He basically went to pass it out to the winger when he probably could have reached out and put it down himself, so he could have been in for more if he had scored that try. He had a 68 in round one, nearly all from base plus power. His break even is 43. I think for me, at a similar price, he's 50K more than Roger. I think he's my number one man.
Yeah. What do you think of the Warriors Roosters game? It seemed I was sort of watching it on the phone at that time of the night. It seemed more like just be two bad teams playing each other. Like Roosters had that bounce back the week before against the Panthers, but it gave the impression that they were sort of just back to where they were, and the Warriors happened to get away with another victory, which potentially delays them making changes to their team and their spine that they, I think, potentially need to otherwise make.
Pretty good sum up, Tubes, considering you watched on the phone. I agree. It was just a scrappy nothing game. It was New Zealand at 6 o'clock on a Friday night. It just slippery, bit of an ugly game. Neither team really stood out. A couple of the Warriors boys look good, like that Laiatawa. He had 95 with two tries, and he's backing up a 75 from last week. He just looks a really good footy player. And, geez, you get him close to the line, full head of steam, he's going to be hard to stop. Like, he's going to continue to be a try-scoring threat when he's that close to the line.
Yeah, he's a big boy. But, again, I feel like every year get burnt, whether it's the Timicos or the Panasini, these big Bullockin centers, and they have big games, but and they have decent bases, but they just never have those upsides like a Garrick to go 160. So you're sort of looking for that in your more expensive center wings, I think.
Tubes, Chance Nickel Klokstad had 115. He got nearly 50 points in just hit ups. That's not even base plus power, like literally just hit ups. He had 47 points. He had two assists. He was just in absolutely everything for them. He was easily their best player. He's in 0.5% of teams. He's 660K. Do we need to talk about Chance, or can we just move on?
I think we move on. No, we're not going to talk about his Gutho this week. Didn't play on the bye. And the Gutho versus Chance could be an interesting over the next few weeks, but I won't be owning either or hopefully talking about either too much.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it now, but yeah. all right, what about the Roosters cheapies? Toya had 26 in the end. It was easily his worst NRL game so far. Like, he looked good. The round one looked incredible. Round two looked really solid with his base. He actually looked a little bit out of his depth in this game. Like, clearly, I don't know, it was just a regression that had to happen when you're a new first grade player. I am a little bit nervous. Billy Smith returned through New South Wales Cup last week and played again this weekend. It made me a little bit nervous that maybe Toya, if he has another bad game, could he be dropped before we've got to see all that cash come to fruition?
Could. We'll just have to wait and see. I think he could still just be a hold anyway, unless there's another out-and-out cheapie that comes along that's worth trading to. 26 base plus power. I was shocked. Did he have like a line break assist or something taken off him? Because I was shocked when he got 30s. He originally had 30 something, and I was thinking he just looked terrible all game. And he actually looked injured. I think he hurt himself early in the game as well. So I think you just forgive and forget And hopefully he's still in the team over the next few weeks.
Sandon Smith ended up with 20 points. He just had one of those games. He also, like Luke Metcalf, didn't take on the line much. He only got one conversion. I mean, I'm kind of running him as my number one hooker at the moment with Corey Pakes. It kind of dampened my confidence in my ability to play him and made me think that maybe sooner rather than later I'm going to have to make a move and move Max Plath, or for people who own Connor Watson, move one of those premium guys into the hooker spot.
Yeah, I sort of have this. I've exactly the same thing happening and had the exact same thoughts. It won't be a problem I'm solving this week, but certainly over the next 2 to 3 weeks, I won't be waiting for them to explode in cash. I'll be getting out Pakes or Sandon Smith, probably Pakes earlier rather than not, and getting Max Plath down there at hooker.
Pakes ended up with an okay score this week. I think Pakes had 43 in 57 minutes, pretty much all from base. So that's not too bad for Corey.
Oh, I think he's fine just as a the upside. Like he's not going to be an 80-minute hooker. And what's then that other hooker is going to come back as well at some point potentially. I can't remember his name off the top, but Moser, your boy Moser from the preseason. So I just think that the sooner he can not be, you cannot have one of them having to play, the better. It could be a couple of weeks. But in, speaking of which, it certainly won't be this week for Connor Watson owners. He also had a Category 1 HIA. I think there was reports that it was Cat 2 and so they could apply, but then I read after the game that he was showing Category 1-like symptoms, so he's definitely going to be out for their game next week as well. And he downgraded to a 30 as well, losing a try assist that controversially he got earlier. So, yeah, it's similar to what you just said about the Plath-Watson. You won't be able to do that this week for those owners as well. But I think he'll definitely be a trade-in target now for round 7 or round 8, I think, for non-owners.
It's tough, isn't it? Because 1 week you say he's a hold, right? But then you might also have Cleary, who's also out for a week and probably a hold. Plus, you might have Ponga and Marju on the bye. Like that's four really big outs for people who own those four guys. That's a really tough situation to be in.
Poor Matt.
All right, let's move on to the next game, which was the Broncos versus the Cowboys. I mean, I scouted this bloke out as a little ready to explode last week, plucked him from obscurity, Payne Haas, and he's ended up with 140 points with a try. Could have easily been two. He's still offloading. He's in career best form right now. And I think it's time to start treating him as a legitimate captaincy option.
You were right. He was ready to explode. I didn't think he was going to explode. Yeah, he'd gone 200s in a row, but you knew he was going for a 140. I think he's just he's getting to the stage where you have to think about VCing or seeing him. Like I thought, I just didn't think about his upside. I was talking to Matt on the weekend, you know, AFB, he's always looked so dangerous for a try in that second stint, like where he starts running wider, but also when defense is a bit more tired and the late footwork at the line just looks so dangerous and basically look like they can get an offload. Effectively, Payne Haas just looks like that. His second stint the last two games has been unbelievable, like as in he almost looks unstoppable when he comes back on with 20 to go. So, yeah, I think he's a big-time captaincy option, and I won't be surprised if he's VC'd or C'd over the next few weeks from everyone.
Jeeves, you mentioned you've copped some listener feedback about not giving my puns enough air time and just ignoring them when I make them, which, for the record, I actually respect that you have no time for my puns. I enjoy the ignorance of them. But I copped it massively from people about choosing Payne Haas as my ready to explode last week. Like, I reckon I received 10 to 12 messages. People's going like, you just cannot do that again. You can't pick one of the best players and call him ready to explode, which you did call me out for on the show. But unbelievable game from him. Another bloke who is exploding, we haven't really spoken about him on the pod this year, is Adam Reynolds. He got 120 points. He's 500K at the moment, but he's about to significantly go up. He's 7% owned. Would he be a good short-term rental for Cleary? Like, is it worth, with all the cash he's going to make and how good the Broncos look, Is there anything in bringing him in for 1 week, playing him next week, and then flipping him back to Cleary after he's had a bit of a come down in price? Because Cleary's now going to have that 2 in his rolling average for a little while. Any merit in that play?
No, I don't think so. Reynolds made 111K this week, so you're going to be buying him at 600 and something thousand. And then his break even's going to be, I think, 5 or 6 or just under 5. So it's not hugely negative. It's not, it would be a consideration if his break even was like negative 30 or 40 to get that cash grab and maybe hold off for an extra week or so. But I just think it's not worth it. And he's not a consideration. I think we will get to talking about Hines, but I think it's very clear that Hines and Cleary are the two that you want. So if you own Cleary at the moment, you're holding.
Okay. I reckon you could talk me into it, the Reynolds thing. Like, you could possibly keep playing for 2 weeks. Next week, you get his score with Cleary out. Broncos have a really nice run, and then you could actually downgrade him back to Cleary. Like, you could profit in 2 weeks' time once his 120 drops out and Cleary's 2 drops out. You could actually do it for a profit. But, yeah, I think
you're flex, short. I suppose, as well. Like, you could move that one of the halves, like Cleary or Nico, down to the flex and run Reynolds and back in Reynolds to outscore one of those fullbacks that you might otherwise be targeting.
Yeah, it's interesting. Well, another one who was the most traded in player of the week was Jesse Arthurs, who ended up with a 62 with a line break try. Watching Jesse Arthurs, he's a pretty frustrating footballer to watch. Like, your brother Dan, obviously, who's on the Teamless Tuesday show, he sent a text during the game that I really enjoyed. It just said, I can't wait to trade Jesse Arthurs out. And even though he did get that try that kind of saved his score, I'm kind of with Dan on that one. I'm looking forward to this Broncos run being over, makes his cash and move him on.
I didn't mind him. I thought he looked pretty good. I thought he deserved his 61. He only had one try. In years gone past, he would need 2 to get 61. I was pretty happy with him. I was also pretty happy with the young GI, Shibasaki. Geez, he looked good. I reckon he's heard the Sunday snap from a couple of weeks ago where he's referred to young GI, and he's really just decided to push on since then because he's gotten better each and every game.
He was awesome. He was busting tackles at will. I think he got like 14 points tackle bust or something. So he ended up with 60 all in base plus power, and it was good signs because Stags is back next week, and the kind of chatter was, all right, this is the big showdown between Shibasaki and Dean Mariner for that centre spot. And I'll tell you what, you've got to give it to points on Shibasaki.
I'd give it almost just a TKO, like, or just complete knockout. Like, Dean Mariner was left on the floor sprawling.
He did look good. Corey Pakes, we already spoke about. The Goz, Tubes, you're a proud owner of Jack Gajewski. The Goz scored a try. Fantastic. I'm assuming he scored really well with a try this week, Tubes. What did he get?
35. He doubled his bright score from the week before, so he's looking good.
32 in the end after a little downgrade. They must have given him 3 tackles he didn't deserve. He had 32 points in 32 minutes. So you'll take it, I guess. It's like you said, it's better than last week, but he's actually probably going to stop making money now with a BE in the 30s next week. Is he on the chopping block? Would you look at upgrading him to someone like a Matty Nicholson, who we'll talk about later? Is it just worth persisting and hoping something happens?
I think it is worth trading him out, but I think for me, I'm in a bit of a race to try and get to that 18-19 squad that I'm super, super happy with. And if it means I have to carry someone like the Goz for a little bit longer this year, I'm not as worried about it. And probably that, although we've seen a lot of injuries, but partially is that not being as worried about the AE nightmares with the 18th man and the possibility of the loop, or just having that 18th player. I think I want him out of my team, don't get me wrong, but I won't be too disappointed if I have to carry him through just at that price for a little bit longer.
It's not like he has a lot of money to lose, is it? So yes, it's fairly risk-free if you need to hold him for a bit longer. The only other player we wanted to mention from that game is Purdue. And he was Purdue. He was due for a score after 2 scores in the 20s over the first couple of weeks, or I think he might have got upgraded to maybe in the mid-30s in week two, but he had 67 with a try and broken play, and that was easily the best he's looked in the NRL. Showed plenty of toe when he got that breakaway try too. 13,500 super coaches traded him out this week, which is probably still fine considering it was most likely to Jesse Arthurs, who's going to make a heap of cash. But for those who held, very promising signs, Tubes.
I think you're burying the lead here, Jono.
What have I missed?
What is going on with Reece Walsh? What's happening with him?
Oh, I completely missed him, of course. Far out.
What's like, as in, if it wasn't for Haas, he's the main talking point. That's two weeks in a row, he's looked absolutely, he's had dreadful games for his standard. I know we felt lucky to get away with a 55 this week, but I don't know, like I've been so up and about. He was a bit of a pod play compared to others to sort of run with him. I was very concerned with that 55, even with their run coming up.
Losing 60K now and his BE is going to be in the 150s next week. So, yeah, it's rough. I mean, like you said, the draw, they've got the Dolphins and the Tigers and the Roosters and the Warriors as their next four. So the draw is nice. I mean, it's easy for me to say because I'm not an owner. I just hold. I'd back him. Like, he's going to get a big score. And he got 55 in a pretty poor footy game by his standards. I think he's got a back that he's going to come good, don't you?
You do. It just feels like it's a decision I wish I didn't. I wish I was a non-owner and I wasn't making this decision. It feels almost like make or break these fullback ones, and I don't feel confident backing this man at the moment in the way that he's looked. But I also know reasonably the smart thing to do is to just hold him as well.
I think even tougher for you, Tubes, because you're an Iongi owner. So you've kind of backed him as your second fullback, basically, Reece Walsh. So that probably makes it even a little bit harder to stomach.
Well, that's why I'm so keen to get Pappy this week. And I'm like, as in to get back to that three-gun fullback and sort of be able to cover that a little bit.
Yeah. All right, well, let's swing back around to Purdue. A huge oversight for me there with Reece Walsh. I had him as the second man on the run sheet to talk about, but just completely skipped over him. Like you wish you did at the start of the year when you brought him into your Supercoach team. But what do you think, Chiefs, of Purdue? Anything to add to what I said earlier or just a good one for those who held?
I think so. I think I said it earlier. I can't remember which pod last week. Too many of them. For me, I think he's only 19 and he's going to be a very good first grade footballer. And so I think you wanted to hold him. I'm very good for those that did. And I think that's the standard I'm expecting him to sort of continue on throughout the year. He'll have ups and downs being 19, but I really do think he's a good player.
All right, the next game is the Sharkies versus the Rabbitohs. And Tubes, you put the straight C on Nico. Not straight C, you had a VC earlier, so not a straight C. Oh, you didn't have a VC?
Oh, no, yeah, sorry, I'd VC'd Walsh.
Okay, so you put the captaincy on Nico. I know you had a couple of other options you were looking at, and it paid off, didn't it? 113 points. There were some injury rumours from early in the week, but there was no concerns in terms of looking at him play. He was kicking, he looked free. Just a great performance is what Nico owners wanted to see.
Yeah, is it bad that I'm disappointed with the 113? I was so up and about when Nico went over in that first, I think it was the first 7 minutes with the try. And like I was in Matt's living room and I was jumping and cheering like with the kids. Like I just, it just meant so much to me because you could tell he was on and I just wanted it to be, I wanted to be right.
It meant so much to me. Oh, that's the best. That's a man hurting after a bad captaincy and bad score last week.
Yeah. And so he was on 73 at halftime. It really felt like the Sharks were going to go on with it, and then they just didn't. Like they scored one try in the second half, I think, in the end. So, yeah, look, I'm very happy for the 113. But just the way the game was shaping out, it really did feel like it was going to be one of those special 180 type games for Nico. So felt like he left a bit in the bag. But for future performances, he definitely does look he looked good. The Sharks obviously look very good and he's back to goal kicking now and I think he's cementing himself as that clear first or second halfback option for the year.
Choosing another one that I'm tempted to go to from Roger Tuivasa-Sheck this week. He's about 100K more expensive, but Kaolito, who got 85 on the weekend, coming off a 65 and 111 in rounds one and two, he's only 2% owned, and he's more than picking up where he left off after that strong finish to last year. Is there a chance he could just be the premium centre wing option and we've all just slept on him?
100%. Like, I looked at him for Lucas as well this week. I ended up going Lucas to Munster. I looked at Firma. I looked at him. I thought about Garrick, but I really was never going to do that. But Iro, I actually, he was in my team at one point last week because I really do think that he'll just be that premium gun center wing. His base is probably going to be 65, and I do think in that Sharks attack he's going to have a ceiling above 100. I just, how do you get him now? Like, it feels a bit tough.
Like, downgrading John Bateman. Like, you could easily use that money to go Roger up to him. Like, I think people will be able to find a way if they want to with that Roger money this week.
Yeah. He still just doesn't feel, maybe it's just me, it's just not exciting enough. Like, it's not like bringing in a Pappenhausen at 16K that you feel like he's, and that's probably an exaggerated example, but it's just, like, even Big Bad Brian for 40K more, like, I feel like he's got even a bigger upside in it. But I wouldn't be, it'll be like one of those things, as you said, Iro will be the third highest average in centre wing for the year, and anyone could have just probably held him all year.
Yeah. Fenua Blake from the Sharks, like, he's looking, you mentioned dangerous, how he comes off kind of out wide, coming back on for his second stint. From a Supercoach perspective, he's 22% owned. He had 61 points in 50 minutes. He had 53 minutes in week one, 49 minutes in week two. It seems like that 50K-ish mark is going to be about where his minutes are at. I just think if you're one of those 22%, I think you have to move him on with all of these other guys going off at front row forward, which surely you're missing one of them if you've got AFB. He's got to go, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think so. You need Haas and May as your two. I mean, you could consider having Haas, May, and AFB as three of your four front rowers, and then have Tino in the back row. Tino's one of the best second rowers as well, so you can easily just have him as a top second row forward.
Feels like too much.
I'd say he's certainly number four on the list right now of gun front row forwards.
Not too much to talk about with the Rabbitohs except for the two popular cheapies. Humphrey B. Bear, he is 22% owned after 20,000 brought him in last week. He got 78 with a try. He's going to go up about 90K and more cash rises on the horizon. Pete Mama Bias, a.k.a. Mamazelis, he had 50 points with 50 tackles. Like, literally, that's pretty much where he got all his points. Not much of a running game to speak of, and he's going to go up 80K. So just well done to people who brought either of those guys in. You've got to be pretty happy with that, but not too much more to talk about there. Tubes, let's get on to my favourite segment of the week. It is time to see who is ready to explode. Who do you have for us this week, Tubes?
Oh, I'm keen to hear who you have for us. I'm trying to look at who got the highest scores this week. Do you want to go
Ruben
first?
Garrett. Yeah, Ruben Garrick is my ready-to-explode player of the round. I mean, how can you deny it? Huge performance tonight with 160 points. I'm responding to criticism, Tubes. I'm backing down. I'm not going to go for someone who necessarily got a big score this week. I'm going for Mark Nwangani Tuase, who is 438K, 7% owned. He got a 51 on the weekend with no major attacking stats, and he's looking like a very, very good NRL player. He's averaging 65 after that score with only one try so far this year. His base isn't necessarily jumping out yet. He's not getting through a lot of hit-ups and a lot of meters, but he's getting a ton of points from busts, offloads, and line breaks, and he looks a very, very good footballer.
Yeah, I really do like him in that mid-range, and he does seem to just do a lot of things right, even on the weekend. It felt like he was two plays away. He nearly scored that unbelievable try. He really was only a couple of plays away from actually exploding. So he is probably ready to explode and does definitely fit the bill of the segment more than some the last couple.
Yeah.
Mine is probably he's a pod-ish type option, 708K, 2% ownership, and he's a fullback, which is Keanu Kinney from the Titans. Might be hard for me to get in, given I still own Brimson, Jaden Campbell, and Tino, and I'm looking at bringing in Furmore as well. So it might just be too many Titans by the time we get around to it. However, he's had 68 on the weekend with an assist, only an assist. The week before, 62 with only with an assist. But I think similar to what I was saying about Pappenhausen before, he's just involved in everything, every sweeping play, every movement that they do. He's probably the more dominant handler of the ball. Outside of Jaden Campbell being the predominant kicker, I'd say Kinney gets probably the most touches in the team. So I think that he looks amazing. And also it just feels like, I think you wrote to me that the Titans attack, it still just wasn't clicking against the Knights on Saturday night. They looked really good at almost broken play, which obviously Kinney excels at. If they can get that spine and sweeping plays and all of that to start clicking a little bit more, I really just think that Kinney's going to be a top fullback prospect, and I really wouldn't mind him with their run coming up as well. I think he's definitely an option, and I would be considering a lot more of him versus Pappy if Pappy just didn't get the goal kicking.
Yeah, I love it, Chibs. I think it's one of those ones where if you just looked at his numbers, you might not be as impressed, but if you've watched the Titans games this year and looked how tackle busty and electric he looks, I think you'd be much more impressed than what the numbers even show. I really like him as an option for you this week, Tubes. I think we both nailed the brief with Ready Explode. I mean, you had every week, I guess, so I've just come to the party and finally fit the criteria of a segment on our own show.
Although I think I'm still, it's still a curse? Who did I have last week? I don't think I've picked a good one that's gone well the week after yet. Fletcher Sharp.
Xavier Savage. Oh, yeah. He went all right. He got in the 60s, didn't he?
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah. Still his lowest score of the year.
Whereas I've gone bang, 140, my Ready to Explode this week. So I'm absolutely smashing it after picking Payne Haas last week.
And the first week you went Pappy, and he then had a bye and got 60. So, close.
All right. Well, hopefully Marky Mark can live up to that high standard for me. Let's get in the second half of the games from the round. And Terrell May, I mean, we have to just quickly mention, then we'll move on, I guess. He got 73 points in 65 minutes. He just keeps getting it done. The Tigers mid-rangers, Seyfarth and Adam Dewey. Seyfarth got 73 with a try and played 80 minutes, so you've got to be pretty happy with that if you're one of the 8% who own. Adam Dewey, a little bit disappointing. His runs were back down this week. He only ran for 70-odd metres, similar to round one, and he got 42, but 20 points were from kicks. Do you just continue to persist, Tubes, or do you just maybe start to look elsewhere?
I don't know. He's also a good goal kicker, and the Tigers do look like putting on points this year. So you're probably backing him in for, 15 to 20 points in goals each week. So I think with that, you'd probably just hold him, aren't you? And just hoping that he jags a few tries. I'm happy. I'm fine to be a non-owner, but I don't think you're rushing to sell him at the moment.
Stafford Toa was one who I know people were hoping was going to be a good downgrade option this week. He played his second game. He ended up only with 31 points with two try contributions. His base just wasn't there this week. Looked heaps better last week for his first game of the year, where he had five tackle busts. I guess he is still a downgrade option. He's going to have about a negative 14 break even next week. But I think Sam Rani from the Eels is probably going to be a better option. He's 198K. And he had 42 all in base this week after a 55 score last week. If you were looking at a downgrade option, choose between Stafford Toa or Sam Rani, who would you be leaning towards?
Oh, don't know.
It's 100K price difference too.
Yeah. Neither. I don't know. Like, I don't want either. Like, but probably Steph Rani. What was it?
Sam Rani. Stefano Uticamano's cousin, Steph Rani. Yeah.
Sam Rani is probably who I'd be looking at, but I'm hopefully neither at this point in time. What's his name? Got injured though, didn't he? The winger that's been going well. I'm having a mind blank. The Tigers winger, 490K.
Oh, Taruva.
Taruva.
Oh, no. Skelton. Skelton got it. Sorry, yeah. We got there eventually. Because Taruva has been going, well, yeah. Skelton, another one. We didn't mention him. He did his hammy, or it was a non-contact injury. So it's potentially even an ACL. But
it looked like an ACL, but they came out after the game and said he felt his hammy pop. So either way, it doesn't sound good.
Okay.
Toa might be a little bit more interesting if he goes to that left wing and they bring in a centre up. So it'll be interesting to see who gets that spot, I think, at the Tigers, because that does look like they're, obviously it's just a good option for them with Galvin going down that side.
Yeah, it's something. I don't think it was as dismissive a topic as what you made it out of those two. Didn't get a lot of buy-in from you, but fair enough. Isaiah Katoa, Tubes, you know he's one of mine. Like, I've basically already got him heralded as a 10-game Origin veteran before he's even played. I absolutely love him. He came into this year at 390K. He got a 74 this round, coming off a 52 and an 86. He's going to be around 470K now after price rises. He's still going to have a negative break-even of about 20 or so. Slept on option. He's only 21 years old. Is there a chance this is him taking the leap?
It definitely is, but he's only available at halfback. If he was available at 5'8", you'd be having a very good look at him this year, I think. Definitely stepping into that dominant half role with the Dolphins, even though they're not looking amazing as a team, just with the amount of touches that he's going to get, he's sort of involved in most of their attack.
Well, his teammates are pretty popular, a couple of them, Maxi Plath, son of John, and Tom Gilbert. Chiefs, I just want to pick your brain on this one, because when you were watching, you thought you noticed something. Plath ended up with 55 all in base and his minutes dropped to 70. Gilbert, 47 all in base. But what was the bit of a change you noticed this weekend?
I think they were switching around roles. So Plath didn't play 80. He came off in the 70th minute after he missed a tackle, after he just made like 8 tackles in a row, and then was, I think, let in their second last try, not the Appy try. And then Gilbert ended up letting in the Appy try and just looked, if that's all you saw as a highlight for Gilbert from that game, that's a shame, because he looked unbelievable as well, just making so many tackles. But it felt like they were swapping between an edge and middle. And I'm not sure if that's good or not for either of them. They both looked pretty gassed towards the end of the game, and neither had any great attacking stats. But I think they're just going to be what they are. They're going to be awesome basemen by the looks of things. And you're just hoping that they jag some attacking stats as the year goes on. I like Max Plath better, even though he's a little bit more expensive, just because, as we said before, that dual hooker role, that if you can get him up there and averaging 55 to 60 for the year, it's not the worst.
Moving on to another Queensland game. This is where, Tubes, do you just want to take a moment to talk about Jaden Campbell? 117 points, looked very, very dangerous, crashed over for a try. Just want to take a bow, take your flowers.
Oh, he looked good. I was pretty happy with him. Like, I was feeling very good on Saturday night. I think Matt was posting up some Ponga reaction to captaining Ponga. I considered making a Jaden Campbell video reaction as well, but left it. I thought he looked good. I mean, he sort of looked how I want him to look. He had a lot of touches. His kicking game was not great as a halfback, but when he did take on the line and run, he looked very dangerous. And then he's just got such silky skills that when there's a half chance, he can turn it into a full chance. I know Kinney threw a forward pass for that last the first try of the game, but that was amazing pickup from Kinney, but also just amazing the Campbell backing up Tino and then getting a good ball, being able to even just get that ball away as well. That's sort of what you're expecting from them. And him at halfback touching the ball, I think he's going to be a top two, 5'8", and I wouldn't be shocked if he's in a lot of people's teams at some point in the next few weeks. I just hope later rather than sooner and he can keep going well.
Well, his halves partner didn't go as well, Tubes, who you were also an owner of, AJ Brimson, who got a 24. And you mentioned, like I said, about Campbell, he really did look like the dominant playmaker, and Brimo felt kind of absent compared to how he usually looks in the footy field. How are you feeling about owning both? Is Brimo maybe on the chopping block?
I'm going to give him another week. I think he still looked dangerous. I don't think he's going to necessarily have as good of a base as what you want for a 500K player. He could end up being a bit rocks or diamonds. And I'm keen to see what his diamonds can look like, because I still think that that Titans run looks very good. And as I said earlier in the ep, I just don't think they've clicked yet. And so I think that there's going to be something that comes and something that changes. I'm not complaining about Jaden Campbell's 117, but I just really didn't think that they looked amazing in attack for how good that they, I think that they can look. And I think that they'll just get better as the year goes on.
Tino, another one who, coming off that big ACL injury, should continue to look better and better as the year goes on. He got 61, but he looked in for a monster score after his first stint in the field. He ended up only playing 55 minutes. I mean, there is a chance that they would have put him back on for a third stint like they did last week, but they just didn't need to because the game was over. So they just started giving that little bit of a rest. So, yeah, I mean, you'll take 61 out of Tino. I don't think it's too much more to say there, Tubes.
No, and they're not going to be winning that many games by that match. You would think that he's going to not warrant more minutes moving forward. Mm.
Kalen Ponga, you mentioned Matt posting the video of how owners felt like he ended up with 45 and he was just saved late with junk points. He didn't deserve 45 with the way he played. 40% of Supercoaches had him as captain, which lends itself to either par this week might be a little bit lower. And it just wasn't his night. He had three errors in the first 15 minutes and was doing a lot more distributing and kind of leaving it up to other guys than what he would usually do. Just not good.
Yeah, and it could be a cop-out. He had a bad game. They're pretty decimated in their forward pack with Lucas going out, KPP suspended, Leo Thompson out for a few weeks as well. So, I do rate the Titans pack. So I do think that he was playing off the back of a pretty dominated side and then just didn't play a very good game for himself either.
They got up there a bit though and they just didn't look threatening. But I guess when you're used to certain edge combinations like both back rowers being out, like you mentioned, and like that's going to potentially stuff up your backline plays, they were cutting in a lot instead of going short to the line and getting used in field. But yeah, I guess there's reasons there, maybe excuses there. I kind of wish I had seen the writing on the wall with what you're saying and not put the captaincy on him. But with Dylan Lucas out, emerges a potential cheapie. I mean, Tubes, I've got to make the most obvious pun of all time here. Thomas Cant, but he could be Thomas Can because he's 274K. He had 88 points. He's on that, coming onto that left edge for Lucas, who it was confirmed he's going to be out for 6 weeks. He had nearly 70 points in base plus power. That was only his first game of the year, so there's no price rises coming yet, so we don't have to make a decision this week, but certainly one to watch.
Yeah, definitely can see myself bringing him in 2 weeks' time.
Are you worried, though, that when these forwards return, he might just get muscled out?
I think so, but Dylan Lucas, 6 weeks, that means you should get 4 games out of him, you would think. I suppose KPP and Frizzell, but we'll know that. Yeah, true. No, probably gonna have to wait till his third game, which will be his price rise game anyway. So
yeah, so have to wait and see. Greg Marju had a 38 and possibly the worst footy game of his career so far. Massive relief for non-owners like yourself, Tubes. He's only going to go up by 30K now. He'll have a break even of 50-odd. Was the game so bad that it puts you off bringing him in round 5? Because obviously the Knights had the bye next week. Was it that bad that you're maybe second-guessing bringing him in?
Nah, I think he's still a buy. He just he went. It's like being back at the Titans' home ground. He just went back into that form that he had when he was up there, that mentality of not being able to catch balls or I think he'll be fine. I think it was just an off night, but I think 38, potentially his worst game of football, you're pretty happy with that as an owner, realistically. And he just still hasn't been scoring that many tries. Like, that's the thing. Like, he's going to average 70 plus before the end, like over the course of the season. So I think getting him now at anything under 550K, you're flying.
It just shouldn't have been that. I was hoping you guys were going to have to buy him for 620K next week. Like, anyway, that's all right. Let's get on to today's games now, and we'll start with the Parramatta versus the Dogs game. Not heaps to speak about. Iyongi had a pretty good score. He had 54, looked way more involved this week coming out of his own end. and had a try assist to boot. Tubes, I mean, I'm not looking at selling him yet because I still think he's going to be a premium moneymaker this year, but you just think the time is right. You want the security of the three-gun fullbacks?
Mainly I want Pappy and I don't want to sell Walsh or Ponga. Like, so that's the reality of, I think, where it's at. Get one price rise out of him. 54, did he look good? Yes. Do I think he's going to be suddenly getting hundreds over the next few weeks in that Eels team? No. So I'm happy to just sell him and upgrade to Pappy. Didn't even play him this week, but like, which is not what you expect from a fullback.
I was disappointed that his teammate, Zach Lomax, got a huge score. He got 82 points. He was a man on a mission today. No try. Well, I say huge score in consideration. He had no tries, no try assists, no goal kicks. And he has a break even of only 74, which is around about where he's priced. And he's only going to lose 30K. He was one that I was really hoping we were going to see a bit of a dip in, but it doesn't look like it's going to happen. We've already spoken about Sam Rani or Stefan Rani, as I think you called him early. Bailey Haber-Chews is one you wanted to mention. He's a second row forward, got 64 points today. What are your thoughts on him?
I just think keen to find out more about that Burton news. I think it was a grade one MCL, so it was potentially 2 to 4 weeks. If that extends, if we hear news that that extends beyond 4 to 5 weeks, at 300K available in second row forward as the 5'8 for the Dogs, he's just an interesting option. What do you have today? He had 64 and just was involved in a fair bit of their attack, particularly down that left edge where they're pretty dangerous.
Final game of the round, the Seagulls versus the Raiders. Garrick, I know we've already spoken about him, but when he scored the first try, and I traded him out this week, as we mentioned earlier, he was my way of getting Payne Haas. When he scored the first try, I was annoyed. When he scored the second try, I was really annoyed. When he scored the third and the fourth try, it kind of started becoming funny and I stopped being annoyed. He ended up on 160. He's going to make more money and be just get out of reach for those of us who don't own him, and Seagulls have an awesome run. Anything else to talk about, Choose with Garrick?
They have a shit run. They got the Eels and then they got a really hard run.
Oh, does it get hard?
Yeah, I wouldn't be bringing in Garrick. He's had his game. He's having a baby. He's about to go on paternity leave and from the super coach scoring season. So hopefully, hopefully no more 160s on the horizon, because I don't think I'll be bringing him in now. And I imagine you're not after 1 week trading him back.
I don't know how I could get him. He's going to be too expensive now. Big Ola, though, had a bit of a bounce back week. Ola Kawatu had 82 points with a try assist and was the run meters were back up. He looked very involved. That was nice to see after he had a down week last week for those of us who own him. What about the horse tubes, Corey Horsburgh? He had 48 points in 56 minutes, but it included a sin bin just for doing horse stuff. He was just being a pest, had a few warnings and eventually got sin binned and taken off the field. So 48, a pretty good score considering he had that sin bins, loses points for that, plus loses minutes on the field.
He was there. I mean, the only thing that's annoying is how's Ricky going to react to that? They were down 6-0 when he got sin binned, and I think they were down 30-0 when he came back on. Not that that's his fault necessarily.
But, could cause their next lover's tiff.
Just could. Who knows? You never know with Ricky. He's a man on the edge. So we'll just wait and see. The one that I found interesting, I don't even know what happened. Like, Starling was on 48 at halftime. And I didn't watch a huge amount of the second half. But he ended up only on 52, I think. So
he only played 54 minutes, Tube. So the minutes were way down on where they had been in the first couple of rounds.
That's not what you wanted to see. I mean, you take the price rise as a new owner, but that's certainly not what you wanted to see after playing 70 minutes. And that's what I think. That's just what Ricky can do. Just change his mind during the game. Like, looking for Paddy maybe to spark him more than Starling was. Who knows?
Yeah, he was trading my 26,000 super coaches. Not you say he's going to get a good bump, but I mean, after the round, having seen it now with those minutes, I think you would probably rather have gone Humphreys, which was a legitimate option for people. With Sandon Smith at hooker, you could have brought Humphreys in and made that work. So, yeah, a little bit disappointing, but it is what it is. Matty Nicholson, I reckon, is going to be one of the most popular options next week. He did play 80 minutes, ended up with 41 points, 35 tackles. Hosking's got a broken hand. He's going to be out for a few weeks. He's probably the second row forward downgrade option of the week.
Yeah, I think Bateman to him for me is pretty obvious. I wish he was cheaper. 336K is just, it's 50K more than I wish he was just coming over from the Super League. I know you got to pay a bit of a premium, but yeah, I still think he'll be very popular.
Tamale was the last one we were going to speak about this round, Tubes. We've been calling him Hot Tamale. He was a bit of a cold Tamale this week, only 21 points, didn't get through a lot of work. Look, he's 232K. The only thing is now, round one, he had a really big score without any tries. Round two, a try kind of saved him for a decent score. And now round three, he's had a small score. So not ideal. Does it make you reconsider playing him?
I haven't played him yet, and I don't think he's a hugely playable option. Out of all the cheapies, Toya, Shibasaki, Purdue, him, obviously Arthur's now. He's probably third or fourth, like he's second last or last on my list of playable options, I think.
Well, Chiefs, let's get down to the last segment of the show. It is time for the Little Black Book. Who have you got written down in your Little Black Book that you're keeping an eye out on?
This one's another eye test one that from being at the game on Storm versus Panthers is Casey McLean. He didn't have a huge night in Supercoach, but he's just, he looks like a very good footballer. He's a lot bigger in person than what you realize for a center. Like, he's bigger than Big Bad Brian. Not that, you know, like just even his body, like he's bigger than Scott Sorensen when they're on the field together. Like he's obviously young. He's got huge potential and upside. I think with a bit of a price dip coming this week and then potentially into over the next couple of weeks could go down even further because he hasn't really exploded yet. When Cleary's back with that run that you mentioned, I've just jotting him down. I think he's an option to bring in. A bit of an eye test for me. He ended up playing left center on Thursday night, and Alamotti went out to right wing and scored all the tries. Certainly as a wing option, I still think McLean is a decent buy over the next few weeks.
That was a pretty compelling case, Tubes. Well done. It actually, like, I hadn't looked at him at all, but you nicely sold that. You do, when you get into salesman mode, you are very good though. And you were Tubes the salesman there.
Yeah, okay. Didn't get the hands going though, so wasn't that into it.
My one, Tubes, I'm interested to see how you react to this guy because I'm putting a premium player in my Little Black Book, and it's Angus Crichton. He is about to lose 40K. He's going to have a BE in the 90s. His ownership is very, very small this year, and he's had no major attacking stats at all. He's averaging 63 in pretty much base plus power alone. I am keeping an eye, and I'm looking to bring him in soon, potentially for sub 650K is what I'm hoping. And we spoke before about Sand and Smith. I'm actually hoping I can find the money to do it over the next 3 to 4 weeks by getting rid of Sandon Smith, moving Maxi Plath up to my hooker spot and bringing in Angus Crichton as my replacement, because I think he's just being under-owned, looks good, hasn't exploded yet, and I think he's still passing the eye test to me from a footy perspective.
He definitely still looks very good from a football perspective, even in a beaten Roosters team. He'd want to be sooner rather than later, even with, I mean, it sounds weird to say it's round three, but he's definitely playing Origin again this year, so you want to get a bit out of him before then as well.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's going to be awkward timing because by the time he's kind of like peaking or dipping in price, I guess the opposite of peaking, troughing in price, it is potentially too close to Origins. It's a really good point that I hadn't considered, but he's written down the Little Black Book regardless. Tubes, that brings us to a close for this week. Another plug for the league code, it's 730444, where there are $5,000 worth of prizes up for grabs. Get in there and join before it's cut off. And Tubes, next is the Tuesday show where I know Matt and Dan are going to be back. They are, you can't say it because you're their brother. Those two are in red hot form in terms of their content this year. Dan's just scouring New South Wales Cup and Queensland Cup for numbers. He's looking at every single player. Matt's in red hot form as he has been the last few years. It's been a must listen show, I think, so far this year.
Yeah, I think I said to you earlier this week, Monday morning text message from Dan about a stat site asking when's the New South Wales starter come out for the week. So he's putting in the hard yards, putting in the work.
Yeah, he got that nice top 1K rank and was just like ready for more, looking for the next hot thing. Are you on this week on the Tuesday show, Tubes?
Possibly. TBA. TBC. To be confirmed. There could be some more surprise guests coming up, so it should be good.
Fantastic. Well, Tubes, anything else you got for us this week?
You beauty.